Morning. Well, turn your songbooks to 217, please. Let's sing the first two and last verse this morning. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless way. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light. Stand.
Dear God in heaven, we're so thankful to freely worship you in this country and sing these songs unto you. God be with those unable to be with us this morning that are dealing with various health ailments, that have upcoming test procedures, those that are recovering from surgeries, and those that have recently lost loved ones. God, please be with us today as we receive lesson from your word. We're thankful for Darrow and the preparation that he's put into this lesson. Please help us to take what we learned from this lesson, apply it to our lives, that we're able to walk in the light, that others see us with your light, that they will come to you and help our congregation grow. Please be with us throughout the rest of the service, and all this we ask you is in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, and in your pew Bibles, that is page 1,440, 1,440. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose the 12, whom also named the apostles: Simon, who he also named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was also the traitor.
Who will please turn to 679. Good to have Darrell and Karen with us this morning. Darrell Bear speaker. Good to have him. 679, please. Change this song a little bit in the wording. Know the Lord will find a way. We're going to sing it, has found a way. He already has found a way, hasn't he? On the cross. So if you will, instead of singing will, he has found a way. You can even write that down there if you want to sometime in your book. Has found. Appreciate that. Sung this song for a long time and then really know that really, because it's more scriptural, I believe, when we sing "Has Found." I know the Lord has found a way for me. I know the Lord has found a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord has found a way.
Good morning to you. Glad to be able to be here with you again this morning. And to all of those who may be watching on whatever digital format that you're watching, we're glad that you're with us as well. Ask and pray that everybody will have their Bibles out, whether you're here or at home, that you'll take those out. If you want to, you're more than welcome, of course, to take notes of whatever's going on or what's being said. And we ask that you follow along as we go through the lesson. We'll start maybe with what's a bit of a series here when I'm with you that deals with the apostles. We're going to look at the different apostles as we go forward from here. Some weeks we may cover one, some weeks we may cover two or three or four of them at a time, depending upon who they are. I've kind of entitled today's lesson a summary of the apostles. Well, who were these 12 that Jesus prayed so long and hard about that you read, or was in our hearing this morning, that was read for us? It said he went up into the mountain and he prayed all night. Question I would have for you, and the question that I asked of myself was, have we ever prayed all night? We talked, Ernie and I and some others were chatting and laughing about not being able to get sleep. Well, when we do that, what do? How do we reach our sleep? Do we take that time that we're not able to sleep to take the time to pray to God? Or do we get our phones out, our tablets out, our laptops, and scroll through whatever's on there to try to get us a little sleepier? Do you pick up a book and read it, perhaps? A newspaper, if anybody still gets such a thing. But Jesus took all night to pray. And you might say, well, he's God. He's God's son. He's still human. He's still human. And he wanted to make sure the decision of the 12 that he chose was going to be the right one. There are four places in the New Testament where they are listed. You see on the screen there, Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. Mark 3, 16 through 19, and Luke 6, 14 through 16. In those three places, there are 12 listed. You also see that I have Acts chapter 1, verse 13. It has a list of only 11 apostles because this was after the point in time that Judas had gone out and hung himself after the crucifixion of Christ, or when the crucifixion and the trial was taking place. And he had only died, so at that point in time, there were only 11. Later, Matthias was added to that list. So that's the list of what we have. You can check that out. Now, some names may be different. Just as in some people that we know go by different names. You have someone that comes here, Charles Savage. Probably most of you call him Charles. I call him Charlie. That's what I've always known him as. We grew up, I've called him Charlie. He told somebody one day there's only two or three people that he allows to call him Charlie. I'm one of them. There was a lady at Norval Park years ago. Her name was May Heron. May was a sweet lady. She never called me Daryl. She called me Darl. Don't ask me why. She may have not known any better. That was May. But we all have different. Some of you may have. If there's somebody here by the name of Richard, he may go by the name of Dick. So we all know people that's that way. They have another name that they're known by in one, whatever fashion it was. Well, in each of these places where there's a particular order of listing given of the names. In each of these, the listings, you'll find that Peter, whom Jesus changed his name, or his name was Simon. Jesus changed his name to Peter. Excuse me, let me get that correct. His name was Simon. Jesus changed it to Peter, the only one of the 12 that he did that with. He's always listed first. The fourth one is always Philip. And the ninth one is always James, the son of Alphaeus. Kind of interesting that, and then you find within those groups, the same four are always listed. Always listed. There were two Simons, two James, two by the name of Judas. Judas Iscariot is always, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, listed last. And he's always listed as the traitor or the one who betrayed him. Quite a collection of men. We might call it a multilateral in today's language. Some were known as the greater, and some were known as the lesser. Had nothing to do with their importance. Had nothing to do with how great they were. Most likely had to do with their age, young or old. There were within this group, when you sit down and look at them, and this is not necessarily going by any specific research, but just things you can find in the Bible. We can find all kinds of things about what we don't know, that the Bible never mentions about, Bartholomew or some of the others. You never hear their names mentioned to speak of except when it's listed. But yet you can go into dig into history and things of the world, perhaps find some things that may be correct about them, and may others may be just speculation. But these are some things that for you to consider. There were conservatives and liberals, just by their nature. The things they did for a living would usually tend to make a one person more this way or that. And we're not trying to get into a political realm here that like we have in this country. But yet it was something that was common in that day and age. They may have been different political persuasions and perhaps Jewish religious sects as well. Now we think of scribes or we think of Pharisees and Sadducees, but even within those groups, there were divisions. We have no idea if any of them followed those ideas. Perhaps there were people there of these 12 who had no political persuasion whatsoever. Now you might say, well, Daryl, what do you mean? If you ever take a survey and look, over 30% of the people in this country never voted. They evidently have no interest in politics and have no political persuasion, and that's all I'm going to say on that, because I'll go on a rant like that for an hour, and we're not going to get into that today. But perhaps some of them had no political persuasion at all. Or they may actually were Jewish in name only, not necessarily practicing their Jewish faith. They may have been Jews. They may have been just like Christians and never show up to the church building. They call themselves Christians. They don't come worship the Lord. We can't think of these 12 men were all strong Jewish believing, practicing Jews. The Bible doesn't tell us that. In fact, on the contrary, it has to give you things to think about that maybe they weren't that way. They were, in a lot of cases, just like you and I. People who were trying to get along. Each day of their life, just trying to survive, make a living, trying not to cause a problem. They were fishermen, businessmen, and laborers. It's believed, and I'll just throw this in, I didn't type this in, but some may have been believed even owned, that the father of two of them may have even owned the boats that were used as fishermen. So we have fishermen, businessmen, laborers, a tax collector. We have a terrorist, or it's believed that he was a terrorist because he was known as a zealot, who was a group of people who wanted to overthrow the Roman government, also known as Canaanites. And at least one was prejudiced against Jesus, at least at the beginning, because of where Jesus was from. The scripture says that he said concerning Jesus, and I'm not giving necessarily the names because I want you to look these things up yourselves. But he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? How many times have you heard people put towns down, especially when you were younger, growing up? There were certain areas I know here and down in Perry County that I've heard a man tell his daughter, you don't go into that area. You don't go into that area. Yeah, one of his disciples may have even been prejudiced against Jesus. One was found sitting under the tree in the middle of the day. Was he unemployed? Was he homeless? We don't know. But it's interesting to think about. And one was called a thief and a robber. And later, he became a traitor. They were selfish. We're talking to 12 apostles here. They were selfish. They were known to have internal squabbles and strife. And you can read a number of scriptures where it talked about they were upset with each other. Some were thought to be better than others were, even to the point that they would bring others from the outside to try to influence Jesus, as two brothers did when they brought their mother in to try to get Jesus to put one on the left hand and the right hand. Yeah, they're better than the others. And that caused strife. That caused trouble. You know, they were not a board of directors that any man in their right mind would want to use to start a business. Now stop and think about that. You have just been given the responsibility of starting a business. You have been given a responsibility to start something and to get it going. Are these the people you would hire? Most of the time we wouldn't hire, we'd look at them and say, what kind of college degree do you have? What kind of experience do you have in this line of work? Well, in the line of work that Jesus was starting these men on, they had no experience whatsoever. But then again, this was no ordinary man. Where would he get his backing from? Who would give him support? Who would be the one to tell him, you're doing the right thing? Yes, it's going to work out. As I remember from a movie, the term, stay the course. Who's going to tell Jesus, stay the course? Keep doing what you're doing. How would Jesus be able to bring this ragtag group? Now notice, I said ragtag. They weren't all from the same neighborhood. Some of them was from over here, some of them was from there, some of them there, some of them from the wrong side of the tracks. So how is he going to bring this ragtag rabble group of people together? A group that would eventually turn the world upside down. It would start the greatest movement of truth that ever occurred. It is seen in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, that after being in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted by Satan, how would he do it? It's in what's written in verse 4 of Matthew 4. He would look at Satan three times and say, it is written. What you're saying, Satan, is not written. What you're doing, Satan, is a lie. But what I'm telling you is God-given truth, and it is written. And it's because Jesus learned to rule over sin. Jesus never sinned. Why? Because he took the advice of his father that his father God gave Cain back in Genesis chapter 4. When he looked at Cain and he says, you want to do what's right? You must rule over sin. And Jesus knew that. He knew that as a young man growing up. He knew that as a man when he went into his ministry at approximately the age of 30, that he had to rule over sin that might be presented before him. And Jesus did. And how would he get along? How would he know what to do? Well, it continued the night that he spent in prayer. We're back to that all night bit. Some of you may have in your college years stayed awake all night studying for a test that was coming up the next morning. And what'd you do? You slept through the test. No, hopefully you didn't. But you stayed up all night because you wanted to get it right. And Jesus was the same way. I want to get these 12 right. They need to be the ones. And you notice what you in the scripture it says, he called his disciples, how many? 50? 100? 200? 500? We don't know. But he called his disciples, and then he went and said, I want you 12. You're going to be my cabinet. You're going to be my board of directors. Let's go over to Luke the 6th chapter here and look at this again, beginning at verse 12, where it says that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayers to God. And then when it was day, the sun came up. What happens when the sun comes up most times? Most days for us, unless we've been struck by a tornado or something overnight, the day looks a little bit better when the sun comes up. And I've even heard people on television talk about they lost everything. But they said the sun came up. And they would say that except for the destruction, it looks pretty nice. Well, the sun come up and things look better for Jesus. And he chose 12, whom he then called apostles. He put a separation between them and the rest. If he's out walking along somewhere, perhaps he wants to go pray, and he says, hey, my apostles, come with me. The others knew not to come. And he would bring the ones he wanted. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. Jesus here talks about Peter, James, and John. Luke 9, beginning at verse 28. And it came to pass at about 8 days after Jesus said these things, what it cost to have true discipleship. They took Peter, James, and John, and what did he do? He went up on the mountain to pray. Now, this became what we know as the Mount of Transfiguration. But what was his first purpose? To pray. To pray. And he prayed, and the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white as white and glistening. I believe some version may even say became white as snow, others whiter than any launderer can launder it. And this is where he spoke with Moses and Elijah. Where did he get his support from? Moses and Elijah. They were there to give him support. Moses, the law, as we call him, the lawgiver. Elijah, as we refer to him in some circles, the law restorer, is what he did on Mount Carmel all those years ago. And they were with him. And they were with him, giving him, no doubt, strength. That when Peter made that blunder and said, let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And the Lord spoke out of the from above and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He got his support from his father again. John chapter 11. Turn over there. We're going to look here at one that we very seldom have talked about. We give Thomas a bad time. We call Thomas Doubting Thomas because he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hand and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Well, the other 11 didn't believe either. Because if you read a few verses just prior to Thomas saying what I just talked about, you'll find that Jesus appeared before them and they were all scared and afraid. Why? Because they didn't know what it was. And Jesus said, believe, it's me. And he said, see, here's my hands. Touch my side, to the 11. But before that, we find Thomas standing on his feet in a better fashion than any of the other 11 did. So John chapter 11, verse 16. We're in the area where Lazarus has died. Jesus says we're going to go back to where Lazarus is. And they talked to him, they said, well, wait a minute, they've been wanting to kill you. And Thomas, who is also called the twin, so evidently he was a twin of perhaps one here, one of the others. We'll take a look at that later in their studies. He was called a twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas is one of the first ones that's beginning to understand what's going on. Now, Thomas didn't understand the fact that Jesus was to die alone. But Thomas was giving the Lord support without even knowing it. I'm willing to die with you. We find another place where that was said, and they all said, yeah, they all said likewise. Yeah, we'll do the same thing. But Thomas says, let's go. Let's die with him. That probably had to feel in some fashion from the physical side, from the way our minds work, they've got my back. They've got my back. They're with me. Just something to think about. We could mention more. We could keep you here all day, but we're not going to do that. But the important thing for us is to realize that these men at the beginning were just like us. They were just like us. They were at the start of Jesus' ministry. Now, some people will probably not like what I'm going to say here now, but I'm going to say it anyway. In many ways, they were ungodly men. Sinful men. And just like you and I, as we either were, or in the case of some, maybe are, that's the way they were. None were religious scholars. We don't know of any of them having any kind of a religious degree, although it was traditional at that time that all Jewish boys attend some kind of a teaching for years. But we don't know how much they practiced it. As a matter of fact, when you go over into the book of Acts, it's referred to the fact that they were referred to as uneducated. They were uneducated men by the religious standards of that day. How many of us, by religious standards, how many of us, by standards of society, are uneducated? But Jesus saw something in them that he sees in each one of us. He sees in everybody sitting in this auditorium this morning. He sees in everybody that's watching us through the digital network. He saw a soul. Not souls, plural, because he looks at each of us individually. But he looked at you down the road from his point in time, he looked down the road and he saw you. And he saw a soul that was worth living for. And he saw a soul that was worth dying for. And that is what Jesus did. He lived to show us how to live. We of us that are just like the apostles were when he started. He lived a life to show us how to live here on this earth. And then he died so that we might live in heaven. What about you? Are you going to heaven? What about you? Where is your relationship with the Lord God? He wants you to live for him, do his will. He doesn't ask you to be anything special. He just asks you to follow him and do his will. This morning, as we conclude the lesson, I want you to take a minute and look at your life. Have you done what is necessary to become a Christian? You've heard a little bit of the Word of God. Do you believe that Jesus, do you believe in him? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Are you willing to confess him as the Son of God? To repent of your sins, to be baptized, to arise, to walk a new way of life, as it talks about in Romans, the 12th chapter. If you have, then you're at the same kind of spot that the apostles were at the day of Pentecost. They had gone from that ragtag group that nobody would have used to start any kind of a business, to the 12, once Matthias was added, that would turn the world upside down. And you can do the same thing. You can turn your little corner of the world upside down. You can do it by living for Christ, but perhaps you did become a Christian, and over the years, your love for Christ has faded, and it's not what it's supposed to be. Well, then you need to get your love for the Lord built back up. You need to repent of the things that you've done wrong, asking his forgiveness, so that once again you might walk hand in hand with the Lord. So this morning, as we offer the invitation, if there's anyone that needs to respond, would you come at this time as together we stand and sing?
There's a fountain
free that is for you.
As we prepare our mind, take the Lord's Supper. We thank Daryl for a fine lesson this morning.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. He
destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Upon his precious head, they place a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold, the King." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. Oh, alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the
Jesus died alone for each and every one of us. But not just us, for the whole world. This morning, there's 28 of us here today. 28 people who have come to remember what Jesus died, that Jesus died and what he did for us. Where's the rest of the world at? They're missing out on an experience that everyone's going to have to give an account for someday. We're here to remember what Jesus did for us. He died alone for us, each and every one of us, but that was the plan of God, and that's what Jesus did. He did what God wanted him to do. And we're here today trying to do what God wants us to do. We're trying our best. That's all God wants us to do, is our best. We don't have to be perfect at it, but we do have to try to do our best. I commend each and every one of you. And hopefully the rest of the world will see and come too. Let us give thanks for this bread that represents Jesus' body. And thank God for Jesus and his sacrifice for us. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together to break this bread that represents your Son's body that was so freely given on the cross. He gave his all for each and every one of us. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. In like manner, let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we come before you. We ask you to bless this fruit of the vine that represents your Son's blood that was shed on the cross, that we might live through him, that we would try to live to show the world what he has done for the world and each and every one of us. We thank you again for your Son. Forgive us of our shortcomings and our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Also, upon the first day of the week, we're July by in store. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for your Son, for your love, your mercy, and your grace, all the blessing of life that you so richly bestow upon us. Dear Lord, we ask that you would give us a cheerful, giving heart that we might give back a portion of what you've given us back to, for the support of the church. Again, may the things we do here this morning be well-pleasing in your sight. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Mark has announcements.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service. And at the way end of announcements this morning, we especially want to remember all the ones that's on our prayer list. We have a pretty lengthy list in the bulletin. We have several that's going to be having some procedures coming up. And of course, you have some that's recovering from procedures that happened. And I was given a note here by Jimmy. He gave it to me about Dave Hall, just to kind of give an update on him. Dave Hall had a therapy this past Thursday, and it says he is still very weak. They hope that they can be back to worship service soon, and it says please continue to keep them in your prayers. This time we want to remember, besides Dave, we want to remember Rosa, because she's taking care of him right now, and he currently is at home. So there's she's there at home taking care of him there. So we remember both of them at the time of his illness. Of course, we all remember our Bible studies. Our Sunday morning Bible study is at 9:45, and we're doing the book of Galatians on that morning. And Sunday evening, the ladies get together on the phone at 5 o'clock, and they're going to be doing a preview of Ezra, and then they're going to be finishing up also the review of 2 Chronicles tonight. So that'll be their theme of the lesson tonight. Also, Wednesday night, our midweek service is at 6:30, and we're doing the book of James. Of course, the church youth group will be getting together on March the 28th, and that'll be 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. in our fellowship hall. Encourage you to come for that if you can. Also, the ladies are having their morning devotions on Saturday mornings, and that'll be the next one that's going to be coming up is Saturday, March the 29th, and that'll be 8:30 to 9:30 that morning. Of course, we have our spring gospel meeting coming up, and that'll be on May the 4th, 5th, and 6th, And our guest speaker will be Tony Cottrell. He'll be here and he'll be giving us some lessons in days. Of course, there's several area events going on around the area. Holly has in here about 7th Street, McConnellsville. They're going to be having a gospel meeting coming up on March the 30th through April the 2nd. And then J.D. Smith as well is going to be doing that lesson. Of course, there's other events going on. There's New Concord has some upcoming events, and Noble Park, and also Somerset has several. And there's, of course, she has the area wide sings that's getting started up. And the next one that's coming up for that is March the 28th, and that'll be in South Logan. And after that will be Noble Park on April the 4th. And there's several of us coming up. And, of course, we'll be having ours here June the 27th here in New Lex. I believe that's everything I have. I think I don't think I've missed anything. Is there anything you need to add or additions or anything like that? If not, I'll ask you to go ahead and you stand for the closing prayer, and Brother Tom will be doing that.
Let's pray. Our dear God and Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us this day to come together to get strength from your word of truth, and Daryl having a good lesson. Help us here at New Lex always be strong in the truth and other churches of Christ also. God, we pray for Dave Hall that you'd strengthen him going through so much in a long time. Help him get stronger, and Rosie, bless them. Diane's family is going through things. Bless them. My member Steve Anderson is going through a lot. Help his heart condition get strong. Bless Sue and the family. Bonnie going through a lot for breathing. We pray she can be able to get back. And others, Father, is going through so much. God, we ask you to bless the work and be for our gospel meeting coming up and the sayings going on in the areas. Help this produce fruit. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. In his holy name, please forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen.